You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Out as of today, it is Sarayde De Silva's wonderful new book, Ama. Morena, Sarayde, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm good.
What a big day for you. This is pretty exciting. It's your debut novel. That's a huge feat.
Yes, yep.
This is quite a cool thing, I think. I mean, we're very excited about it because it's like, oh, our friend's written an amazing book, friend of the station. People know
you. Don't know it's good yet, actually, though.
Hey, I'm trusting it's going to be good. People will know you from many different capacities because you're a fantastic writer, you're a podcaster, you've talked a lot about theatre here on BFM Breakfast over the years as well. But this is a book that's sat very close to your heart for quite some time. Tell us a wee bit about where this story came from for you and what is it actually about?
Yes, okay, great. I think I'm sort of uniquely bad at talking about my book, but here I go learning how to do it. So the story came from, really it came from my family. It's not autobiographical, but I wanted to write about the kinds of women that I grew up with.
Yes.
Or reinterpret them or like start there and then imagine everything else. So that's where it came from. And the book is about three generations of South Asian women. They all grow up in their own timelines.
Mm.
So it's like three stories, I want to say intersecting, but it's not really. The stories sort of plow on in their own universes and then they kind of come together at the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, totally. So there is this kind of multi-generational narrative happening here. Mm-hmm. And as you say, not autobiographical, but definitely drawing on women in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What was the, I guess, decision to write like that for you? Did it feel natural, like this is the story I have to tell, or was it something that kind of unfolded over time for you?
I think it definitely felt natural, yeah. This is exactly as you say, this is the story I have to tell. Also, my gran died in 2019 in February, and I really wanted to, I don't know, it's sort of a weird way to talk about it, but I think I sort of wanted to stay in conversation with her in some way.
Yeah.
Like I still wanted to feel like I could know things about her or feel like I could learn things about her or feel like, I wanted to still try and live in the same world as her.
Totally.
After she died, yeah.
That's a pretty amazing thing that art can do, is to give you those spaces to have that conversation with people who've passed on or kind of understand people that you've known your whole life in a new aspect almost.
Mm.
And obviously it isn't a book about your grandma, but drawing on people from your real life into these characters must have a very strong feeling of that community and that family for you. Did you talk to other women in your family, or did you talk to your family about the book as you were writing it?
I talked to my grand sister.
Yeah.
My auntie Colette, particularly because of one of the time periods the book is set in, which is Singapore in the 1950s, it was quite hard for me to find the kind of information that I needed to write fiction.
Yes.
You know, so that is, so it's really useful talking to somebody who was there.
Yeah, totally.
Because they recall things that aren't just factual, you know, that's it's feelings and
100%
sounds and colours and everything.
What they were wearing even.
Yeah.
That stuff, yeah, it's not necessarily always written up in the histories so much. Yeah.
Exactly. And you need those little sort of details, really. So I talked to my Auntie Colette. I mean, I'd be talking to my mum all the time, so...
Shout-outs to mums.
Yeah, shout-out.
Just in general.
Just in general.
Yeah.
She's probably sick of me.
I bet she's very proud of you, actually.
She's proud. I do wonder what it's like, though, to be a parent, having a child that constantly returns to you and returns to... like the story of the two of you or I'm like that is a real unique position to be in, like,
totally,
you know, oh, my kid keeps writing about me or something. Like,
he's making really award-winning podcasts and highly anticipated novels. Crazy. So this is a story, obviously, when you're working in the world of fiction, you get a lot of freedom, I'd imagine, because your work has been pretty documentarian up until this point in a lot of ways.
Yes.
What was it like pivoting into that narrative space for you? Because that must be quite a different, you know, set of skills you get to flex there.
Yeah, it is really different. It is so sick, I think, writing fiction, because especially if, like me, you've worked in TV or radio or, as you say, like documenting things or observing things, especially when you're writing TV or working on a script, you have to, or somebody, maybe not you, but somebody's always thinking about how to shoot it and what you can afford and how many people can you have in a scene, you know? In fiction, you could just do whatever you want. So like,
there's, it's happening in your brain.
It's happening in your brain, and you can go absolute. It's, it is actually really liberating. I mean, it's also very hard and stressful, but there were definitely moments where I was like, I don't even know what's going to happen on the next page.
Woohoo! That is really nice. And also to not have to work out the cost per, you know, square inch of thing that you're writing out as well is pretty exciting too.
Yeah.
This is the worst question to ask, and I'm already sorry to ask it, but who do you think should read this book, Sarait? Like, who do you recommend it to?
That's not the worst question to ask.
Okay, some people hate it. They hate to be like, oh God, I don't know, everybody. But like, who do you think would find this something that they would resonate with?
No, I like that question. Who do I think should read the book? I think if you've experienced rage that you didn't really have words for and that you couldn't really see in someone else, then you should read the book. I think it's very much about rage.
Yep.
I think it's also, I think if you've ever wanted revenge, I think this would be a good book to read. I think if you like absolutely like revel in the company of other women, you should read the book. If you like food, there's a lot of food in the book. I think those would be good places to start.
I think that's a great place to start. I'm really excited to read this, and you know, a lot of really knowledgeable people in the book community have been gassing this one up big time, Sarait. So I am very excited about this this book. And tonight you're celebrating its launch, so congratulations. Yes. But where can people get it from?
You can get it anywhere. So you can get it at your local indie bookstore.
Nice.
Pop into Time Out, pop into the Women's Bookshop, pop into Unity, or you can obviously get it online anywhere, what calls Mighty Ape. Booktopia if you're in Australia.
Cool.
And you can also buy it in the UK. You can pre-order it in the UK now.
She's international.
Hell yeah.
Love to see it. Sarait, congratulations. Amma, it's out now. It's got a beautiful cover too. Who did the art for the cover?
I want to say Megan Blackburn.
Sick. Go Megan.
Yeah.
We think.
Yeah. That's real bad of me. But yeah, the cover's beautiful. I like it too.
It is. Yeah. Hey, congratulations. Super excited for you. And yeah, really looking forward to it. We will link some of those indie bookshops in the old podcast so people can find a nice link to it as well. But yeah, congrats again, Sarait. And it's been lovely to chat with you about the project.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.